Wednesdays with Walton, Brian Walton, who runs thecardinalnation.com. Terrific website. If you follow the St. Louis Cardinals and you want to go even further, follow their minor leagues, well, Brian dives in every single day. The box scores, the stories, who's making noise down in the minor leagues. There are stories updated 24/7, 365 days a year. And I'm serious, Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, Brian's got content going up on the site. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios. This is presented by Lordo's Diamonds, which is brought to you in brilliant clarity. Lordo's located in the heart of Ladue on Clayton Road, 9222 Clayton Road. You can see their selection, lordosdiamonds.com. Well, Brian Walton, let's jump right into it. This is, you know, such an exciting time of the year for a baseball fan, the annual baseball draft. And we'll dive into some of the selections and the individuals momentarily, but a general thought, what did you think of the Cardinals in the 3 days of the Major League Baseball draft?
Well, it's very clear that the Cardinals prioritized pitching high. They took 24 pitchers out of their 40, and that compares to just 19 the year before. So, you know, and you know, they did very early on, you know, the first day, very heavily oriented toward right-handed pitching. Also got a couple lefties as well. And, you know, that's a reflection of the fact that the system, you know, we've gotten a little spoiled, perhaps, or some of us maybe have, with, you know, with all the Flaherty's and Hudson's and Jordan Hicks's that have, you know, continued to flow through St. Louis, that pipeline was going to last forever. And, you know, it's been slowing down, and there's no doubt, if you look across the system, you know, the three of the four full-season affiliates aren't playing well this year, and the primary reason is the pitching's down.
Yeah, the pitching.
So these guys will help fill that need.
Absolutely, and the focus on the pitching, too, has been a lot of college guys, and if you do that, sometimes you get those diamonds in the rough, and they make the quick move through the minor leagues and potentially become Michael Wacha or Marco Gonzalez, guys that went through the system very quickly.
That's right, and so the more lottery tickets you buy, right, the better chance you have of coming through with wins on a few of them. And, you know, given the fact that there are some needs, some of these players should be able to step right into full season ball and make a difference. And maybe if they move into the rotation, then some of the guys that have been around might move to the pen. Now, the other thing that the Cardinals have done in recent years, back to Michael Wacha, is that they've been sensitive to the heavy workloads that a lot of these college pitchers have thrown, and they don't have them start the first year just because they don't want to overwork their arms. So, you know, while there's temptation to try to get some immediate fixes, you know, it could be that some of these guys, the high impact guys, will be in the bullpen just because they may have already thrown 120 innings or whatever it is this spring.
Tell us about the first round pick out of Kentucky. What do we know about this pitcher?
Well, Zach Thompson, left-hander. According to multiple sources, he was the best player, not just the best pitcher, but the best player left on the board when the Cardinals picked number 19. And the only downside to Zach Thompson is he had some injury history, but that was a year ago. And he pitched very fine in his junior year, has four pitches, can reach 94 in his fastball, slider, curveball, changeup. But, and that four pitch mix is a big deal when you talk about guys that you want to see become a major league starter. And this guy's supposedly a fiery guy, a competitive guy, and is a good athlete as well. So, you know, he looks like he's got a good package. I don't know if he's going to be a front of the rotation guy, but he certainly is a guy that can be a starter in the major leagues if everything goes well for him.
Yeah, and that's the idea. Do you see him moving through the system quickly? I mean, again, it's a crapshoot, but from what you hear about this young man, could he move through the system quickly?
I think so next year. Again, you know, the workload thing this year makes it a little dicey to expect a lot from him immediately. But certainly in 2020, yes.
And secondary pitches, that's kind of where he makes his mark. The fastball can get to the mid-90s, but it's really the secondary pitches, isn't it?
That's right. Slider, supposedly a high spin rate slider, and it's a good swing and miss pitch that he has, and that's important. And then a curveball. He has a good curveball when it's on, and that's an inconsistent pitch for him right now. And his changeup, he hasn't used a lot, but it has some potential as well.
Interesting. You talked about the injuries that he sustained, or at least had issues with. It was a shoulder, I believe, in high school. Elbow issues caused him to miss starts 2 years ago at the collegiate level. You don't draft a kid, clearly, if you think he's going to be hurt. But what did you hear about his, you know, health and just where he was coming into this draft?
Well, you mentioned the shoulder thing was way back in high school, and you know, that's like 4 years ago now. So, you know, it's worth filing away, but it's not anything that's a current concern. And, you know, while he had a sore elbow, you know, that was, again, over a year ago, and he's pitched a full workload this year with no concerns. So, you know, it doesn't, and I'm sure that, the Cardinals did their diligence to understand his medical work. But, you know, there's no reason to believe that those issues are ones that are still lingering today.
Cardinals used that second pick on a prep outfielder and classified as highly athletic. Tell us about that young man.
Trajan Fletcher, you know, interesting guy, a guy with a lot of tools, you know, really an athletic player. And, you know, the question on him is he's played high school ball in Maine. And, you know, cold weather baseball isn't the same as down in the South, both in the schedule, the number of games they can play, as well as the competition. And Fletcher's been on the, you know, on the showcase tour, so he certainly has been looked at in a broader context. But the question on Fletcher is going to be, you know, will this raw power that he has develop? If so, he could be a big hit. But there's a lot of maturation to go, and so, you know, they'll put him in center field. They'll let him run. They'll let him do his thing and see what happens. You know, some folks are worried because they remember the last time the Cardinals took an early pick in the first round. And, you know, it didn't work out for him so well. They picked a young man from Michigan, Nick Plummer, who has not really developed as a player. But, you know, you can't just cut off a whole section of the country because there was one pick that didn't work. Fletcher, you know, looks like an exciting guy. And as far as I'm concerned, the bottom line is this on Fletcher, Dan. Vanderbilt is one of the best college programs in the country. These schools get less than 12 full scholarships at any given time, and they gave Fletcher a scholarship. And if Vanderbilt likes him, hey, that's good enough for me.
Absolutely. Is there a concern about signability with him because he is committed to Vandy?
Well, I think, well, sure, anytime there's the guy has to come in. Now, you know, Randy Flores was asked a question immediately afterward by the media, and his answer was, you know, we believe we can sign him. And, you know, $1.2 million is the pool amount for that pick. And if they can't sign him, that's money that they can't use anywhere else in the draft. So it would be a huge gamble on the part of the Cardinals to, you know, gamble their second-round pick on a player that they don't think they can sign. Now, they may need more money. And so that's why, you know, a little later in the first day, they picked a couple of seniors. So, you know, those seniors don't have any real leverage. So they can get paid under slot, and the Cardinals can reallocate that money if necessary to convince Fletcher to forgo his college commitment and become a pro.
He's been on the mound, too, and has hit 95 on the gun. Has there been any talk about, you know, potentially just keeping him on the mound? I know he's an athletic kid, but, I mean, doing a little bit of both. In the early stages of the minor leagues in his development?
I haven't heard anything about that, Dan. Now, you know, there have been some players who have been two-way players before that when they can't make it at one way or the other, then they switch. Walker Robbins, who was a fifth-rounder outfielder from Georgia a few years back, you know, just couldn't make it offensively, and so now he's working on the mound. Robert Stock was a catcher they drafted, and it worked the other way, and he became a pitcher and now is in the major leagues of San Diego. So, you know, that option, the fact that Fletcher could pitch and was successful at pitching, aren't skills that are going to go away. There'll be skills maybe he won't use right away, but it's always nice to have that fallback, you know, if the guy doesn't pan out.
In terms of the draft overall, what are people saying about the Cardinals and how they did?
I think what I've read, at least especially regarding the first day, the high-level picks, you know, the combination of Thompson and Fletcher, you know, you've got a very, I don't want to say safe. Safe's not really the right word, but a very good pick. It wasn't a stretch. It's a guy who, you know, looks like he is going to deliver. And then you gambled a little bit on a guy like Fletcher, who has all the right materials, but is very young and very green and, you know, has the signability questions. So, you know, on one hand, you've got to be safe, but on the other hand, you know, you need to take some risks as well. And it seems like the Cardinals took a good balance of that.
Anybody else catch your eye or surprise you, or somebody that'll grab some headlines in this draft for the Cardinals?
You know, it's really hard to tell, Dan, and I hate to sound like I'm, you know, remiss in my job, but I didn't spend a lot of time looking at these candidates before the draft, because there's literally hundreds and hundreds of players in the draft pool. Over 1,200 players got drafted. The Cardinals only end up with 40 of them. And so it was really hard for me. I didn't really spend the time to try to get to know a lot of these players yet. And that's something I'm going to be doing over the upcoming days, and, you know, studying the video that we posted and, you know, really digging into the scouting reports and trying to find out, you know, maybe who some of the diamonds in the rough might be.
In terms of how Randy Flores has done with his drafts, this is number, what, three or four, I can't recall, that has been under Randy. But, you know, tell me a little bit about the job you think he's done in trying to develop another pool of talent to come through.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. One of the things that the Cardinals had done prior to Flores was that they would underspend in the first 10 rounds and then pick some upside players in the early teens, and then use some of the money saved in the first 10 rounds to take some of these potentially higher odds or lower, tougher guys to sign and give them a little more money to get them to sign. They didn't do that last year because the Cardinals basically got all the guys that they wanted and that they drafted in the first 10 rounds. So they didn't go with that approach this year. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they took a few juniors, took a couple high school players, Patrick Romeri, who has a commitment to, they had a guy with a college commitment, well, Villanova, and then a couple other high schoolers in the 14th round and 16th round as well. And so those could be guys that could be fallback guys, you know, if they are not able to, you know, get all the high leverage guys in the first 10 rounds, they could take some of that money and maybe convince some of these high schoolers that have college commitments to turn around and go pro instead.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. At the Home Loan Expert Office, we truly bleed blue. We skate around the competition and we get our clients lower rates on better loans. If the credit cards have you in the penalty box, let us get you out with a cash out refinance. The 5-minute loan approval available at thehomeloanexpert.com. All together now.
Let's go Blues!
Enjoy the podcast.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Salon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Salon for Men. Hey, Blues fans, pick up the St. Louis Blues hat trick at the Schnucks Deli. You get a half pound of a Schnucks Deli meat, a half pound of another Schnucks Deli meat, Schnucks Deli cheese. All of that ready to go for just $8.99. It's the St. Louis Blues hat trick at Schnucks. And while you're scoring the hat trick, make sure you score some Schnucks Rewards points too. All you have to do is download the Schnucks Rewards app. And as a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues, Schnucks would like to say, let's go Blues. I want to ask you, too, about what happens next. I know fans are always curious once a player signs with this particular draft class Where do they go? What happens? How does Brian follow these kids? What happens next?
Well, the Cardinals will certainly reach out to their representatives to try to get them to sign as quickly as possible. The short season teams, which are in State College, Johnson City, and the Gulf Coast League, all begin play later this month in the 2 to 3 weeks from now time frame. And so the goal will be, you know, to get as many of these guys signed as possible, get them down to Jupiter, get them checked out, and then get them to their affiliates as part of their new teams. Now, it used to be that the signings could linger on into August, and now they've really stopped that and basically said, you know, by mid-July, you know, you either need to get these guys signed or they need to move on and get their school plans for the year. And I think that's a good thing because, you know, these kids pretty much know already, are they going to sign or not? And then it's only a matter of, you know, will they get the money they want? And it shouldn't take weeks and weeks and weeks for that to get decided. And, you know, it's better for these guys to get signed and get started right at the beginning of the season with their new teams.
There's a couple of guys that I want to ask you about that have had an impact on the major league club, minor league players. We'll start with Genesis Cabrera. He started game one against the Reds and did not have a swing and miss and did not strike out a batter. And this is on the heels of his debut against the Phillies, which was so-so. Great fastball. There's no questioning the velocity on the fastball. There's no questioning the guy has talent. He's only 22. He may have been tipping his pitches. That was an indication of some of the things that he was doing. And, of course, they'll work on that in the minor leagues. And Ryan Helsley got the call up. But give me your general impressions of watching Genesis Cabrera.
Well, I think as you said, the velocity's there, but the movement's not there. I mean, even if he was tipping his pitches, if they had good movement, the batter's not going to know where they're going to be. And so, you know, and it's going to be hard to teach movement. But Cabrera needs more consistency. He certainly, you know, showed stretches where he went through and, you know, struck out, you know, a series of batters. Then he went through a period where he gave up some hits and some walks. And, you know, the Cardinals were in a bad situation in that he was sort of the guy that by default got the call up, and I don't think anybody was necessarily totally comfortable that he was ready for the majors yet. And I think we'll see him again, but you know, this time he wasn't. You know, he clearly wasn't quite ready for prime time, and unfortunately, you know, the Cardinals weren't able to win those games as a result.
Well, we saw Andrew Kisner make a major league debut. That was on Sunday, and caught a dandy from Adam Wainwright. What'd you think of Kisner's debut?
Yeah, you know, it was nice to see. There were no comments really at all about his defense, and that was a positive thing, I think, because, you know, Kisner has shown over time he's a 300 hitter pretty much every year. And so the offensive part of his game, yeah, maybe you'd like to see a little more power, but, you know, he's a very consistent offensive performer wherever he's been. But he was still relatively green, as a catcher. And so, you know, for him to come in and you know, do such a credible job, I think was a testament to his, you know, hard work, as well as the Cardinals player development staff that have worked very diligently with him. When I saw him in Springfield last year, I wanted to interview him, and I had to wait because he did drills in the indoor field house every afternoon at a set time. He did defensive drills, and you know, they wanted to make sure he got his work in. So, you know, there's lots of work that all these players put in, whether they're successful or not, that these players put in behind the scenes. You know, the fact that they make the major leagues isn't an accident, and they don't just do it on talent. Even the guys with the best talent continue to work, you know, hard at their craft.
Cardinals announced last month that Junior Fernandez and Dylan Carlson are the pitcher and player of the month for the organization in the minor leagues. We've talked about Junior Fernandez, and maybe you can give our listeners a little bit more insight on this young man that's pitching very well here in 2019.
Well, Junior Fernandez has been on our top prospect list for the last 4 years. So he hasn't quite reached Alex Reyes's record, but he's been a prospect for a long time. And he reached Palm Beach a couple years ago and as a starter. And, you know, upper 90s kind of guy. I mean, he was ahead of Jordan Hicks, you know, in the pecking order at one point. But he ran into shoulder problems, lost almost 2 years, and was moved to relief. And so this year, finally, he's healthy, and he is not only commanding that fastball, but his secondary pitch is working as well. And he's very, very successful at Springfield, which is a club that hasn't had a lot of good relief work, frankly, this year. So, you know, Junior Fernandez has really restored his prospect luster, and he's, you know, moving up on my prospect list each month. And you know, he's not on the 40-man roster, but he's a guy that if he continues to pitch like he is, you know, we might see him in St. Louis late in the year. Wouldn't be a huge surprise.
I don't know about you, Brian, but it's hard not to be excited from the aspect of watching Dylan Carlson hitting for power, extra base hits, scoring runs, speed. He's playing at Double-A Springfield right now. We saw him a ton in spring. Just your thoughts on the start this year for Dylan Carlson.
I think what's impressed me most about Dylan Carlson's start was that he took to the Texas League, to Double-A, very quickly, and he's been very consistent. He hasn't gone on the huge streaks like Nolan Gorman's done where, you know, he hits, you know, 8 home runs in 2 weeks, but he also hasn't had the lows. And that's, you know, I think the fact that he's a little older, a little more mature, and, you know, obviously a couple levels higher as well. But Carlson's pretty much handled, you know, all aspects of the Texas League, and he's been a guy that the Cardinals have pushed ahead his entire career. He's always been young for his league. He's still young for his league. But, you know, if he continues to play this well, my original thought that, well, they'll keep him at Springfield all year, I might modify that. I might, you know, think that he would get the opportunity perhaps to move up if he continues to play this well. Now, you know, we're still only 2 months into the season, but again, you know, his consistency is the thing maybe that's impressed me the most.
I want to ask you, too, about with Cabrera going down, you know, Ryan Helsley is an interesting candidate to maybe add to the rotation. So let's just talk in general terms. Is Helsley a guy, along with Daniel Ponce de Leon, and I don't mention Austin Gomber because it looks like he may miss another month with a shoulder issue. You have Jake Woodford.
Yeah, that's terrible timing for him.
Absolutely, because he would have had these two starts that Cabrera took. But just your general thoughts on those guys and where they're at right now and their progression of whether it be a reliever or starter, in your opinion?
Well, I don't have any, you know, inside information on Ryan Helsley, but my interpretation of what's gone on with him, the Cardinals made a decision that he was going to be a long reliever. Now, the last couple of times when he started, when he went down to Memphis and pitched, they had him start. But Memphis was also short of starters at the time, and he still went his 3 innings, you know, 50-some pitches. It wasn't like they were trying to stretch him out again. And I think the reason they called him up right away when Cabrera was sent down is to have another arm in the bullpen until they need a starter. Now, you know, with this rain out on Wednesday, you know, I didn't look at see how the pitching would stack up, but the combination of that and the days off, that may have given them another turn through the rotation before they need to fill this fifth starter. I don't know, have you looked at that, Dan?
I have not seen. I would assume, though, but, you know, before the first pitch for Game 3 of the series for the Reds and the Cardinals, we'll probably have a better idea. But if they wanted to, an option could be to manipulate it and see how their starters go and then make that decision, you know, over the weekend. But time will tell. I have not seen it.
And you know, another thing that buying them time does is it gives them a little more time with Alex Reyes, because I think – Alex Reyes is probably the guy that they want to win this race if he could just get consistent enough to be ready to be called up. And, you know, he hasn't been consistent yet. His last start, he had trouble with a lot of pitches over the center of the strike zone. Now, the good news is he wasn't walking guys like he was earlier. But the bad news is, you know, some of those pitches, you know, even in the mid-90s were hittable. And so, you know, Reyes is going to get at least one more start in Memphis, and maybe if he dominated in that start, you know, he could be the guy up next time. Now, you know, Jake Woodford's the guy we talked about before, and I would have put good money that he would have gotten called up before Genesis Cabrera, but Helsley hit, you know, a bad stretch in May and had, you know, 2 or 3 starts in a row that weren't up to, you know, up to quality. And, you know, last thing the Cardinals want to do is bring a guy up, you know, who hasn't been pitching well, you know, in his prior starts. So, I still think Jake Woodford's going to get his chance at some point. And then, you know, of course, you have the consistent, you know, Daniel Ponce de Leon, who doesn't pitch deep into games, is still, you know, giving too many walks. But for whatever reason, when he comes up to St. Louis, he seems to be a different guy. And he actually pitches better in St. Louis, and you know, and recently than he has in Memphis.
What are you hearing? And for folks that don't know, if you go to thecardinalnation.com, you can see daily updates every morning on the minor leagues and what's happening in the games throughout the minor league system and the players that are doing well and some that are doing poorly. Alex Reyes was not good last weekend. What are you hearing about Alex as to why he's had the struggles in the minor leagues?
Well, like I said, early on it was walks. It was, you know, he wasn't throwing strikes. Now in this last start with Memphis, which I watched it on, you know, MILB TV, it really looked like, you know, he wasn't locating his pitches where he needed them. He was throwing strikes, but they were balls that were, you know, getting too much of the center of the plate, and you know they were getting, he was getting whacked around a little bit. He gave up 3 home runs, I think, and in all 5 innings that he pitched, his leadoff man got on base. Now a couple of those innings were home runs. But in the other 3 innings, you know, the leadoff man got on. So immediately, you know, he's in the hole. He's got a guy on base. He's having, you know, there wasn't a breather at all for him in the last start. And that, you know, part of that problem he created himself. So, again, you know, Reyes has this incredible talent. But you know, now he's coming back from a shoulder problem. And still showing a little rust.
Well, let's wrap it up with this. For folks that go to thecardinalnation.com, I mentioned all the daily reports and features, but what can fans get when they go to your great website, Brian?
Well, probably the biggest thing right now is that we have broken down every player, every one of the 40 players taking the draft. We have their whole profile. We have detailed scouting reports. We have video, so folks want to look at pitcher's pitch or hitter's hit. And we've got all that, so you can go in one place and the amount their pool picks are. So you can go to really one place and, you know, learn about all 40 of these young men who have been drafted by the Cardinals, of which, you know, 30-some in the next month or so will end up putting on Cardinals uniforms for the first time. So it's pretty exciting. And our regular features, you know, continue to progress, which is weekly team reports in depth on each of the minor league affiliates playing, and then, you know, daily game recaps of all the games that occur across the system every night.
Boy, we covered a lot, did we not?
We did indeed.
I love it. Thanks, Brian. We'll catch you up next Wednesday. I'll be in Miami, and you may be a, you know, ballpark unknown at this point. Who knows with you? You're all over the place, but we'll catch up next Wednesday.
Sounds good, Dan.